Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson one in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled, What in the World Was I Thinking? Our teacher is Alan Smith.
I titled this message, What in the World Was I Thinking? Have you ever had that feeling? Yeah. What in the world was I thinking? And I'm not here this morning to change your thinking. I am here this morning to expand, perhaps, your thinking. Once you see where I'm going with this, it's very sobering, but it's also something that we need to consider. So I'm going to get the hard part out of the way first. What in the world was I thinking? I am a farmer, so I like to use farm animals and a lot of things in farming in which to convey. It just speaks to me. And if you've ever had a little calf or a bunch of calves and you feed them, and you always have run into this problem of somebody sticking their head in a bucket. It always reminds me of Gomer Pyle. And with Sergeant Carter, and he put a 5-gallon bucket on his head, and he was just being sarcastic to Gomer Pyle and said, just put this on your head and go think about it. And all of his friends came around him and they said, Gomer, what are you doing with that bucket on your head? He said, I'm taking a think. So this morning I'm asking us to take a think. As we move forward, what in the world was I thinking? Will you agree with this? God's ways are not my ways. They're not our ways. So that's an absolute we have to begin with. And to say that has to be the premise in which we launch off in this prophetic and this little understanding. And I'm sure a lot of you, this is not anything new. But perhaps we need to all be reminded. God's ways are just not our ways. Now, when we see that, it's in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So here we see that God's ways and thoughts at the beginning claim superiority to our own thinking and to our own ways. And there should be something in us that wants to reach for the higher truth. And as we're reaching for the higher truth, we are finding ourselves in want. We're wanting to know the higher truth, or we're desiring to know the higher truth. So there's not a place of offense in seeking the higher truth and the thoughts of God and how God thinks. Now, I'll remind you through this, we don't think like He thinks. So we have to constantly ask ourselves the question, what in the world was I thinking? What in the world am I thinking? Now, in understanding that God's ways are not our ways, I was wanting to read a little story, and it's about a glass of milk. And I'm wanting it to bring just a little revelation that God's ways and thinking is not like our ways and thinking. God has a way of getting us to where He wants to get us. I've said this before. Most of you don't even know how you ended up in this church. I'm sure most of you said, well, how did I get here? And I've said to you, if you don't know how you got to where you are, God was getting you there all the time. And it's because God's ways aren't our ways. He doesn't think like we do. So I was going to read this little story, and I was trying to, it's about a glass of milk, and so I was going to have a pitcher, and I went through this process of trying to pick the pitchers for my story. And then I ended up putting them on the screen, and I ended up just leaving them. And I just titled them. The first picture I came up with, this is what went through my mind. Well, this picture is reflecting God, a glass of milk. How do you make this symbol of milk? And I thought, well, I want a good symbol. I put that one, I thought, well, no, that one doesn't really convey this story about God and a glass of milk. So then I put a bigger one up there. It's better. But then it was boring. I mean, look at it. It just seemed like, well, that one didn't quite get the job done either. I thought, well, I'll have one pouring a glass of milk. But then, for some reason, this didn't seem to have any life about it. So then I came up with this one. Just come on, somebody. I can tell a God story about milk with this one. And I said, well, and I was kind of in my conversation with God. This is about 4 o'clock this morning. I said, well, God, will that one, that's it, that's right there. And this is what God said to me. Just tell the story. So I'm just going to tell you the story. Forget the pictures. One glass of milk. One day, a poor boy who was selling goods from door to door to pay his way through school found he had only one thin dime left. And he was hungry. He decided he would ask for a meal at the next house. However, he lost his nerve when a lovely young woman opened the door. Instead of a meal, he asked for a drink of water. She thought he looked hungry, so she brought him a large glass of milk. He drank it slowly and then asked, "How much do I owe you?" "You don't owe me anything," she replied. "Mother has taught us never to accept pay for kindness." He said, Then I thank you from my heart. As Howard Kelly, the young boy's name, left that house, he not only felt stronger physically, but his faith in God and man was strong also. He had been ready to give up and just quit as a tired young boy. Years later, that young woman became critically ill. The local doctors were baffled. They finally sent her to the big city, where they called in specialists to study her rare disease. Dr. Howard Kelly was called in for the consultation. When he heard the name of the town she came from, a strange light filled his eyes. Immediately he rose and went down the hall to the hospital room that she was in. Dressed in his doctor's gown, he went in to see her. He recognized her at once. He went back to the consultation room and determined to do his best to save her life. From that day, he gave special attention to this case. After a long struggle, the battle was won. Dr. Kelly requested the business office to pass the final bill to him for approval. He looked at it, then wrote something on the edge, and the bill was sent to her room. She feared to open it, for she was sure it would take the rest of her life to pay for it all. Finally, she looked and something caught her attention. On the side of the bill, she began to read the following words: "Paid in full with one glass of milk."
Wow. Wow.
Amen.
Wow. Signed, Dr. Howard Kelly. Amen.
Amen.
Here's the point. God's doing something behind the scenes all the time. All the time, God is doing something behind the scenes on our behalf. So there we'll start our little teaching. I'm glad I got the pictures out of the way. How many sides are there to a story? And as we're moving through this, keep in mind, God's setting everything up. He is totally in control. He's in charge. He really is. And He is setting everything up. Look at all of the confusion that's out there today. How many sides we have? There's Democrat and Republican. There's a right and there's a left. I might mention some of the taboo words today. Is that okay? We've got all of these sides, and this side's for with God, and this side's not with God, and how can you do this? And trust me, I have my own opinions, and I've voted what I thought morally I needed to vote for. But yet we despair. Some are despairing, well, Trump's not going to be president. Some's despairing our world is over if Biden is put in. We have all of these sides and ideas out there. But look at this. How many sides are to a story? There's a right and there's a left, and we have a very competitive society. We have a winner and a loser. How do you know it's competitive? Because somebody wins and somebody loses. That's competition. God's not competing with the devil. Amen. Can somebody hear my voice? God's not competing with the devil. God uses all the circumstances to arrange the furniture where the devil cannot read His plan. So when it comes about, you don't even know how you got to where you are, because God was getting you there all the time. He doesn't lead us with prosperity, but with challenges of life. We seem to have to be pushed instead of pulled. Nonetheless, God gets us where He wants us because He loves us. I think He's a little hard on us. What do you think? I never survive His push. Could that be His plan? How many sides to a story? Well, let's look at this. Often people say there's two sides. There's mine and theirs. But there's actually three sides to every story. There's mine, and there's theirs, and there's God's. So we got Democrat and Republican and God. I called my wife last night. I was a little late trying to get my thoughts together. She said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to try to teach on three sides, and you got Democrat and Republican, and you got God." And she said, "Well, Alan, everybody knows God's a Republican." She said, "How are you going to teach that?" I'll not tell you my response. She did mess up my train of thinking for a little bit. Three sides. We got three sides to every story. We got mine, we got yours, and we got God's. If there's three, listen, there's no argument that husband and wife has that if you come in to me or anybody and you want to talk about it, I don't take anybody's, I don't take the right or the left. You look at the Word of God, and what does God have to say about the situation you're in? It's not made to persuade me of anything. My goal is to know the Word enough to know if I can give to someone God's side. God says what we need to do. So as we see this and we start understanding every story has three sides, we understand in Isaiah it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways." Now the question is, do we really believe that or not? Now, it's not hard for me to disagree with you, but it's really hard for me to disagree with me. And I get a little scared when I try to disagree with God. So we find our place. And I'm not really ever convinced to follow God. I yield and follow God. I never do get my thoughts so perfect that my thoughts agree with God's thoughts. It's, I'm always in a yielding position when I say, God, I don't understand, but I'm going with you. Because I'm persuaded and convinced that your thoughts are greater than my thoughts. I'm convinced your ways are above my ways, and if your thoughts aren't my thoughts and my ways aren't your ways, why do I demand of myself to understand what you're thinking? And I began this with, what was I thinking? And I started to put it, I just didn't have the nerve, but I'm going to say it. I'm like, God, what are you thinking? What were you thinking? When you allow these things to happen. But I remember, his thoughts are above my thoughts, and his ways are above my ways. And it's to that that I have yielded to. If you wait until you're persuaded of understanding, you're not getting the way God thinks. Because God's the way he thinks is above the way you can comprehend.
That's good.
So it's not a matter of being persuaded. It's a matter of conviction, of yielding. I can't understand God, but I can be a smart fella and go with him.
Come on.
I can yield to him because I'm persuaded that he is smarter than me. So, he gives us all of these trials to constantly work out our smartness. Get it? When we choose the third side, we see God is fighting the battle for us.
Amen.
Can somebody see that?
That's good.
When we choose the... It's not a matter... See, people want God to join their side. So God will fight with us. No. Just watch this teaching. What's happening here? Watch it. We are to stand with him and watch his mighty hand.
Amen.
Now it says this in 2 Chronicles 20. Now watch it. You will not need to fight in this battle, he says. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Can you see that? So there's something about the third side. When we're on the third side, we learn how to stand with him. We learn how to stand. It's the hardest thing for any of us to do. We got to be doing something. But the key here is to stand with the Lord. So where do we stand? And it's very important to realize where I'm headed here. Here's the story. God chose Abraham and his children, the nation Israel, that is. They were enslaved down in Egypt. So God chose Moses. He led them out of Egypt. The story goes on through Moses. God rescues Israel out of Egypt and makes a covenant with them at Mount Sinai and brings them through the wilderness. So they're coming out of Egypt. They go to the mountain in what's called the wilderness, and they run around there a while. Israel then camps outside of the promised land, and Moses gives them a call to obey what God commands so everyone would know what God is like. I hope you can hear this. When the world sees us, when we join the third side, we are showing what God is like. People look at us, what is God like? And let me clue you in on something. God wants the world to see what he's like through us. God wants it more than we do. He wants the world to see what he's like through us. I've had people say to me, well, Alan, do you really think that God's doing miracles today? Yeah. because he wants the world to see what he's like. But he wants to do it through us to see what he's like. So when I'm on my side or fighting you against your side and I'm not on God's side, I guarantee you one thing, most people, if I'm on my side or your side, are not going to see what God is like.
That's right.
You're going to see what I'm like.
That's right.
Come on.
So the goal is we want the world to see what God's like. And to do that, we have to be on his side. So as the story goes on, the book of Joshua picks up right after Moses has died and Israel is ready to enter the promised land. So here we go. We're going to go into the book of Joshua here. And look, this picks up. Moses has died. That's the story. Joshua comes on the scene. He's now the leader. Moses is dead, but Israel is just ready to enter the promised land. So it's important to watch how God teaches him, how he maneuvers him, how he maneuvers the nation Israel. Now with Joshua, right quickly, the book's divided into four segments. Chapters 1 through 5, Joshua leads Israel. Chapters 6 through 12, you have the battles with the Canaanites. And what happens in this, I'm going to, in about chapter 5, we're going to move and stop. We're going to go right into chapter 5, into this battle. I want you to see how it's handled. Then Joshua divides up the land in chapters 13 through 22. And the last two chapters are Joshua's final words. Now, they called Joshua, when he came on the scene, he was the new Moses. He was going to be the new leader. Now, the book opens up with Moses' death. He sends in spies. This is the second time we got spies going in. He's spying out the land. They're encamped. Here's the River Jordan. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. He sends in spies beforehand. And the spies go in, they come back out, and they say, they're scared to death of us. They have hurt our reputation. When they went into the promised land, they said, the Canaanites, they have heard about you, God, because of the wonders you've done among your people. And so it gives us a clue. When we are representing God, when we take the third side, then we do the things that Jesus did because we're on the third side, not side one nor side two, but side three. Because it's only side three that has the information and the empowerment of what God is doing behind the scenes. And the church of Jesus Christ has the empowerment to pull off what God is doing behind the scenes on behalf of America, on behalf of the lost world, on behalf of the disenfranchised. You see, what happens with side one and side two, you're going to leave somebody out. Let me give you an example. All right, I'm going to go for a hard hitter here. Abortion. If you're on the far right, or not far right, if you're on the right, let's say you're against abortion, which I am. But in waving that flag against abortion, we can wave it hard and wave it loud, but there's people in the congregation that have had an abortion. And in our standing and in our waving, we've destroyed those that have perhaps been through forgiveness and been through all of that, but yet we keep hammering it in their face, because we're standing and waving a flag. If you're on the third side, God takes into account that person.
That's good.
Yeah. Come on. Have I lost you yet?
No, come on.
God takes into account that person. We can be against homosexuality. Wave our flag and banner and wave it high. Lord God, have you seen? But yet those in our congregation struggling with homosexuality, striving to serve God and live a life to God, but yet that's their battle. I'm glad it's not some of the rest of you's battle, because you'd fail. Oh, you can say, let's dumb her down a little bit. We're against liars. We'd wave the flag, fake news and liars. We'll all work that one out with God. I'm going to leave her laying right there. I think God has made his point. The third side takes into account the standard that's being raised and those of us that have all failed. Can we stand for God's truth and yet have grace and peace and mercy and hope for all of us that have failed at the same time?
That's good.
Could it be that we're not so successful with what we stand for, thinking God's on our side, only to discover maybe we're not fully on God's side? Maybe we're holding part of the truth, but not all of his truth. Let's move on. Lest I cry again, because it just hurts me bad. We can stand for truth, but not destroy us with our failures. Because we serve a God of hope. You can stand for truth and not destroy everyone that's failed or failing up to this point. Because those that have failed the most, God, they love God the most. Do that math with a religious spirit and see how it comes out. Now, here's what happened. Joshua has an encounter with an angel. Here he comes. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversary?" So here's Joshua. All of a sudden he runs in this angel and he's got this sword. And the first he said, "Whoa." He said, "Are you for us or for our adversary?" He's saying, "Which side are you on here? You got the sword. Whose side are you on? You for Israel or for our adversaries?" Here's what he said. He said, "No." No. No. Some translations say neither. He said, "No, neither." He ran into this angel and he said, Joshua said, "Whose side are you on?" He said, "Neither." Now here's what I want you to see. The story of Joshua is not about Israel and the Canaanites. It's not about the big battle. Here, Joshua, they were going to take the promised land. God's with them. Runs into the angel. He said, "Whose side are you on, ours or our enemy?" He said, "Neither." So I discovered something. Joshua was being obedient to God, but yet not on God's side at the same time. Confusing. Do you want the rest of the story? All right. This is not about Israel and the Canaanites. This is not about Democrat and Republican. This is not about all that mess. This is God's battle, and Israel will participate by standing with him and supporting God's plan. That's what it's about. Listen, We have an opportunity to be on the third side and stand with God. Well, what's God doing? I don't know. Now ask me if I'm going to take COVID shot or something. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what God's doing. But I do know that I can stand with God and not know what's going on. Now, let's look at it. Let's read it here. I'm going to go back and just give it a little more history so we know where we're going. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him and with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or are you our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." He said, "Joshua, I'm not on your side and I'm not on the enemy's side. I've come here representing the third side, and I am the commander of the army of the Lord." Amen. He said, "That's who I am." Now look at it here. Side one, us. We're going here. Side two, adversaries. Now we're going to come in here. Neither is the third side. Now we have to concede. If you will approach every problem that there's a third side, what God says about it, trust me, your intellect is not always going to bing and land on the mind of God. Because it doesn't think like you think. He doesn't think like I think. He's got this other thinking going on. And his counts. So we see this third side, and we see in this situation, Joshua, but that's the people of God. Yeah, and they ran around a mountain for 40 years too. They're not the model. Have you read the book? I think it's the only reason he sent Jesus. He got tired of them trying to get it right. He sends Jesus and just gets her done. Now, let's go into this next. Now, look here. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said, this is his response, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." So Joshua did so. Look at that. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth. So he's got the angels, got the sword, comes in, "Are you for me or are you for my adversary?" And he said, "No." Joshua said he fell to his face and to the earth, and he worshiped, and he said, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Now listen, the good part about this one, Joshua had enough sense to know there was another side to this story. He didn't assume, because he was the children of God, church, the children of God, he didn't assume that he was fully following the Lord. He had enough sense to take a think. Now, what does the Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandals off, for this place is holy." Now, look at this. To be on the third side, you must be set apart. Amen. Or holy. Now, I've got fear in this election in this last 12 months with COVID. I have a concern that we're losing our holiness. Or that's not perfection. That's being set apart. We're losing our set apartness. Come on. We're losing our set apartness. When people ride down the road and look at this church, I don't want them to think, was it a Democrat church or a Republican church? I want to think, I don't know, but that crowd set apart to God, I can tell you that. And they might not understand what God's doing, but they're going with Him. That means we want to do it right, and we want to have mercy and grace for all of us when we do it wrong. It's the third side. The third side is Jesus leaves the 99, gets a 1. Do the math. You'll go broke doing that. It's the way He thinks. It's the way God thinks. Well, I thought God went after the majority. No, He left the majority. He went after one. Well, we'll win with the majority. No, you win with getting the one. God would rather us go after one homosexual is win the election. God would rather us go after one disenfranchised person than win the election. The winning the election didn't get the job done. It's going after the one. Because we've been empowered with what God's doing behind the scenes. How the election goes, it doesn't change a thing about what God's doing. Not one cotton picking thing. Alan, are you worried? I'm not worried. I'm not following that mess anyway. Amen. Do I vote? No, yeah, I do all that. But I know where my heart is placed. I know in whom I believeth. To be on the third side, you must be set apart, holy. You will run into the commander of the heavenly army when you're on the third side. Now, you'll have to admit, we need some angelic activity going on in this day. We need a little bit. We need a lot of help to carry on the affairs of the mission of God that I have no idea how He's going to work it out. But when He does work it out, I want to be right there working it out with Him. Come on, right? And just trust me, people, all these great prophets want to predict all this blame, who's going to be in president. I'm like, whose mail are you reading? You're not supposed to predict the future anyhow, somebody. That's soothsaying. But when you prophesy what God's doing behind the scenes on behalf of the lost or on behalf of the disenfranchised, when you start seeing what God's doing behind the scenes and prophesy that, I'll believe you. Now, watch it. Here we go. Defending our side. We can get so caught up in defending our side, we think our side is God's side. Now, you can say amen whether you want to or not. It's the truth. God calls us to His side, which is to be set apart, a way of holiness. When we are on the third side, we reflect our Heavenly Father's heart and mission. You got to remember that. Jesus has come and died on a cross to redeem mankind. So when we are raising a standard for what is right, our message has to have included the cross of Christ. We're raising a standard, and there's forgiveness for all. You can't raise a standard without mentioning the cross of Christ, lest all of us who fail do not have a way of mercy and then getting hope. Can anybody hear what I'm saying? I mean, people are more upset now about Trump than they are the lost, thinking that the lost hinges on Trump being president. I mean, somebody. Well, I'll go ahead and say this too. Am I going to take the vaccine? Yep, I'm going to take it. Well, what about the tracers and all? What about it? Listen, do I have fear of taking a vaccine? The answer is no, I do not. Do I think that God gave men the wisdom to do it? I do. You can say, well, but Alan, what about all this stuff that's out there? The only thing I can tell you, my trust is in the Lord. I've asked him about it. You need to ask him yourself. Because we want to keep doing church and everything. If you don't want to take a vaccine, that's fine. I asked the Lord for me. He told me I need to go ahead and take it. I said, okay, Lord, I'll take it. You say, well, Alan, what if it's got stuff in it? Well, I guess, Lord, you have to take it up with God. Because I asked him. He said, Alan, you need to take it. If he tells you don't need to take it, don't take a thing. He just gives one for somebody else, I guess. I don't know. Don't take it. Now you say, Alan, why are you saying that? I have no idea. Except somebody needs to hear it. If you don't want to take it, don't take it. But you need to be asking the Lord and not listen to all the propaganda on a cotton-picking computer. You trust a computer more than you do the Holy Ghost. In this day that we're living, you're just being tested on how well you can hear the Lord or not. You're under a test. Trust a computer more than the voice of God. Come on, y'all. We got to get on it. We got to get with it. The voice of God or a computer that 10 million people can put anything on there they want to. Would somebody give me a cotton picking break? The Holy Ghost of God will lead, God, and direct you in what you need to do. Now remember, you told me you loved me before I started. I knew I needed to get it while the getting was good. We don't understand or see his way unless we are set apart unto the third side. When we have set or we remain set aside, which he's called holiness, to God, then we can hear. We can hear. If you're under fear on what to do, you need to ask God. You can trust his voice. You say, Alan, I don't hear well. Well, you need to clean your ears out and do some repenting because his voice is there. Listen, this is not what the Christianity we've lived up until now is not going to be good enough to where we're going. Come on. There's so much knowledge and everything out here now, people. You can't trust this mess. I've heard people say fake news and fake. Listen, do you not think that the left is going to put fake news in the right side and say it's the right? Do you not think there's people in the right that's not going to put fake news into the left that's not right? Everybody's seeding everybody's information. So how are you going to know what's true and what's not? Well, the world can't, but I can. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got the Holy Spirit. Do you know what I do with most of it? Don't make any difference anyway, because I'm on God's side. I don't know what's going on with all that mess. Do I stay informed? Yeah, I try to stay informed. Do I give it much weight? About as much as I do the Roadrunner cartoon. It's the truth, y'all. You got to understand the world we're living in and the knowledge that's out there now. And it's so easy to seed the land with tares on either side of the spectrum. And for some reason, one side thinks all of their news is correct and everybody else's is wrong. I'm like, come on, you not understand how the warfare is working? What was the first thing that Satan said to Eve? Did God not say? What do you think the enemy's doing? You can't trust it. This is the only thing that you can trust, and in your daily life, and the Holy Ghost is all you can trust. So I submit this question. Don't you think we need to be in a better relationship with this Holy Spirit? To hear his voice, to lead, God, and direct us. Do you trust him enough to be out somewhere lost on the roads? Do you trust him enough to allow the Holy Ghost to be your GPS? He would say, yeah, turn right here. Okay, Lord, lead me. Go down here, turn left. Can anybody hear what I'm trying to say? God wants you to know that His Holy Ghost is more available today than it's ever been, on a higher level than you've ever experienced, because you're going to need it. That's where we are. Let's move on. How do we enter the third side? So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped, and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" The only way to advance was through yielding our side for his, and then worship. The only good your side is so you got something to lay down. That's the only good it is. I hurt your feelings, didn't I? Right there. You thought it was worth more than that. I'm sorry. Your side is worth, it gives you something to lay down for his.
That's good.
Now, I'm going to help you. I got us a little bit of a way out here. Joshua joined the commander of the army of the Lord. He then fought the same battle, but a different commander.
Right.
Can somebody hear that?
Yes.
He still had to go fight the battle, but had a different... All of a sudden, Joshua could go, "Oh, my goodness. I got a new commander here. I think we're going to follow him. Am I despaired whoever goes in?" No, I'm not following that commander anyway. Do I pray for our president? Yeah, I'll pray for the next one. Might pray a little more for the next one. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I got in the flesh there just for a second.
Get back on there.
I just want to show you I was flesh. I just thought you needed to laugh. He fought the same battle, but had a different commander. Now, how do we enter the third side? So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped, and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" So you can see that what happened when he was going to join this angel that said, "Whose side are you on?" He said, "No, neither." So he said, "Okay, now, what's the Lord saying?" Well, he found out it was the same battle, but all of a sudden, the chess players have been moved around. He was now, matter of fact, not only was he joining God's army, but God's army was going to fight his battle.
That's right. That's right.
Now, I'm about done. The only way to advance was through worship and removing our shoes. To look away from the drama long enough to look unto him. That's what the holiness, that's what the taking off of the shoes. He's saying, "Okay, this is holy ground. I'm set apart. I'm going to look away from my own drama long enough to look to you." Does anybody know who that is? That is A.W. Tozer. Here's what he said. "Men think of the world not as a battleground, but as a playground. They think we are not to fight, we are here to frolic." That was Tozer. Now, he was pretty straight-laced, but he was saying, and we're not, this is, y'all know the battle. Everybody wants this world to be a playground, but it's just not. We are seeing America divided like never before. There are so many causes that demand our allegiance. Have you noticed? Everything is demanding our allegiance. Are you politically correct? Are you Democrat? Are you Republican? Are you this? Are you that? Everything is hollering for our allegiance, and for some reason, we feel like we need to give everything an answer. We will not have clarity until we are hearing the Holy Spirit and being set apart by Jesus. I know that sounds simplistic, but it's the truth. This can only be accomplished in prayer and worship as we seek his face. As we are loyal to Jesus, we will know what to say and do. Listen, I trust Jesus in you how to handle all of this. I hope you trust Him in me. But our goal is that in our trusting Him, that we're on the third side with Him. Just keep in mind, Jesus doesn't sacrifice one person. For you to be for abortion, He doesn't sacrifice that person that's had an abortion to come under shame, mistrust, all of the bad emotions and feelings. Can somebody hear what I'm saying? So it's in it. You say, well, Alan, how do we do it? It's because we include the cross with it.
That's right.
Now, He will renew our minds to be set apart so we can hear His voice. You know, I can find all, there's all kinds of people that will fight for this Bible. There really is. But out of 100, only about 2 of them will read it. Don't be so proud of yourself for fighting for something. You're not getting what God, you're not getting the third side. Remember, the world looks at us, so they will see what God's like. So many Christians suffer from confusion because they are torn between two sides. Where each side agrees with the third side, we can agree. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Where each side agrees with the third side, I can agree with you. When they don't, we can't compromise.
Amen.
Just the way it is. Whether you're Democrat, Republican, whether you're right or left, whether you're from uptown or redneck. Rather be redneck.
It's a third side.
It's a fourth side. Redneck. Trust me, that's a world of its own. Okay. We got three sides here. The right and the left, the ones and the whatever. Where that agrees with the third side, we can agree. Where it doesn't, we just can't. We just can't compromise. But it's not about me agreeing or disagreeing with your side. It's with you disagreeing with God.
That's right.
Here He is again. A scared world needs to see a fearless church.
Amen.
It's my prayer that we don't have a divided church.
Amen.
That we have a church that's all on the same side. We align with truth, and we do not compromise with a lie. Because we know who we serveth, and we know who we have given our hearts to. But just remember, the third side includes the love and the mercy of God. Every time you stand for something, remember there's somebody standing around listening that's already fallen. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Just keep that in mind. Because we're talking about perfect truth here, the truth of God, and we've all failed. Some failures has more shame than others. Did you know shame is the worst emotion on the planet? It's shame. And in all of these battles in the last year, I've seen this shame. Mask or no mask? Well, if you don't wear a mask, you're trying to kill me. If you wear a mask, you know the feelings. But here, why can't we do this? Why can't we say that if you need to wear a mask in here or over the, that the Holy Ghost will tell you?
Amen.
Can we do that?
Yes.
And I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost tells you to wear a mask, and you better be wearing it. Don't mess with us. Do I have places I wear a mask? Yes. We want to be able to hear the voice of God. Trust me, if you never wore a mask in your life, and you've got a fit over it, you're going to be in a place that the Holy Ghost wants to tell you to put that blame thing on, and because you're so cotton-picking hard-headed, you won't. Just because it's some conspiracy about something. Well, the heck with the conspiracy. The Holy Ghost said put it on. Might not even be for your own health. It might be so somebody there that has one on doesn't feel shame because they're the only person in the room. Listen, we don't know how God works. We got to follow His Holy Spirit. We got to have a relationship with the Spirit of Truth. And to do that, we consider each other. Come on, let's don't be so shallow about a mask or a Democrat or come on, let's don't be this shallow. All of our thinking should include that we love each other more than ourselves. All of our thinking. And when we love each other more than ourselves, I'll put a mask on my head and my feet and around here too. If it keeps someone from offending a brother. Because my love is greater, trust me, than my opinion. I'm almost 68 years old, and my opinions are going to run out before I die. I am not impressed. They have all failed me. So by virtue of being here a while, I can cling to the third side because it's there that is my hope. It is there that's my glass of milk because I know God is doing something behind the scenes. And it's my prayer that this church, if we could be known for anything, it's to be known by people that could hear God. I want to hear God. We'll run down there to New Life. That crowd can hear God. And just because we can't hear Him well doesn't mean we can't. It just means we've got some learning to go yet. It's not good English, but it's a little redneck right there. It's fourth side. We got some learning to do. Let's stand. I hope what I've said has been somewhat understandable and you know my deal with God, and if there's anything that I've said has not been of Him, and I'm sure there's some here and there it's not, but I trust the Holy Ghost in you that you can rake that to the side. But I'd like to think that the most of what I said was from the heart of God. And I think that it is, because this church can be a place on the side of the road that's victorious, that walks and hears from God, that loves each other, that raises a standard but forgets no one. We are a church of misfit toys. We are a church of the disenfranchised. Listen, church, we're way too white. That's a good place to say amen. Because this church is to be a church of people groups, of ex-drug addicts, ex-prostitutes, ex-homosexual, ex-liars, people who talk about X everything. This church is a church filled with people who are just happy to be forgiven. Just so happy to be forgiven. Just so happy to be forgiven. So let me pray and we'll worship. The baptistry is open. You can say, Alan, why do we keep offering? Here again, we don't know. We just know God says to offer it. This altar's open. Everything we got here is open. We trust the Holy Ghost in you. Let it be our mandate for 2021. I guess I heard it prophesied 2020 was clear vision. God forgive us. Because we can see so clear now, my eyeball's about to fall out. But let 2021 be the year that we can hear God.
Yes, come on.
We can hear His voice. Listen, church, we're going to need it. And if you come up and say something to me, you don't have to convince me. I'm going with you because I'm going to trust you. We can trust each other because our love is greater. Amen?
Amen.
So let's pray. And all of these things are available if you would like to partake. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this morning. I ask and pray, oh God, that these words that have been spoken could truly go down into our hearts and what's a view that somehow through my rambling we could catch what you're trying to say. I pray that this church will be empowered, that it'll be empowered by the third side, that your side and my side, and yeah, God's got an opinion on this. God, is our prayer that your opinion and what you say will break through every time in this church.
Yes.
And that it will rule and reign our lives. We can walk in peace. We can walk in confidence. The world doesn't change our belief. Our world situation does not change in whom we trust. Dear God, thank you that you've given us this opportunity to be on your side. Bless these people.
Yes.
If there's any sickness in this room, any physical body sickness, I just want you to raise your hand right now as I'm praying. If there's any body sickness that needs healing in this room, Lord, by these raised hands, I ask and pray in the name of Jesus for healing. I say this, Lord, because I feel prompted of your Spirit. I pray for healing in all of these situations in this room, physical healing, for all of these situations, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I pray for mental illnesses in this room, that all peace could come to this congregation. Any anxiety, that it would diminish and peace would replace.
Yes, Lord.
Any anxiety. Let this Christmas, oh God, be the best Christmas new life has ever experienced, because we believe in a Savior and we believe that in Him is peace and goodwill to all men. In Jesus' name,
yes.
Amen and amen.
Yes.